The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build, but was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first to consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So, therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all of your possessions." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you, beloved. Hear again the promise of Psalm 1. You are like trees planted by streams of water. You are rooted, deeply, deeply rooted. On this first Sunday of the program year, as everyone connected to education, little ones and big ones, college profs and second grade teachers, administrators and support people and parents, as everyone takes a big deep breath, as hurricanes continue to churn and as fires burn, and as healing happens and our hearts are full of hope and often their own share of fear, as we grapple with what it means to be faithful, to be Jesus' followers in this complex time, today we hear again that we are like trees planted by streams of water. Our interweaving roots go deep and they go wide, and our fruits are rich and they are plentiful. You are rooted, deeply, deeply rooted. With congregations across the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the ELCA, our church, today we partake in a Sunday that we call God's Work, Our Hands. God's Work, Our Hands. For that's the truth. It's all God's work. It is. And it's our hands, indeed, our bodies, our hearts, our minds, that God uses to do God's work. That's how God does it. God does it often through us. Today in Deuteronomy, we heard of that choice between life and death. We heard in the Psalm, you are like trees planted by water. We hear Paul's letter to Philemon about slavery. And finally, we hear Jesus' challenging call to disciples to carry the cross and to follow. With these passages in our ears, maybe questions about these passages in our hearts, and plenty of news and church events and conversations in my mind, in my heart, here is a God's Work, Our Hands, top 10 list. You heard that. Think of David Letterman, right? A God's Work, Our Hands, top 10 list, a la David Letterman. With deep roots, we are like trees planted by streams of water, and our fruits are many, many. So number 10, God's work are tensions. God's work are tensions. Did you notice today that we heard the entire book, thank you, Rosalie, of Philemon? The entire book, all 21 verses of it. In prison, Paul has gotten to know a fellow named Onesimus who has been Philemon's slave. There's this palpable tension in this letter. Paul says to Philemon, essentially, you can't call Onesimus both your brother and your slave. Something has to give. There's the tension right there. Here we get this glimpse into Paul working out the implications of the gospel, the systems and the structures. You know, at the end of August, some of you were around the Sunday that we marked 400 years since slaves were first brought to this land the United States of America. This passage, Philemon, was used by both sides during the Civil War. And we're still grappling, if we're honest, we're still grappling with these tensions today. And that brings me to number 9, God's work, our hands. At the end of this month, we will host for a week 3 or 4 families who are experiencing homelessness. This is a program called Families Moving Forward. We've hosted families for many, many years. Congregations do this. A week at a time, the families come and stay with the congregation. Over the years, many of you have perhaps volunteered with this program. Maybe you prepared a meal, or you played with kids, or you did some laundry, or you took an overnight shift. So now, it's the time to be signing up. But as you sign up next Sunday after worship, I want you to consider another opportunity. Take time to reflect on the experience of hosting. Not so much the what are we going to do when we sign up and when we say we're coming, but how does this all feel? How does it work? Where do our interactions with these families feel real and life-giving? And where is that cross-cultural tension? Where is there more still to learn? Economics and power and race, the personalities of introverts and extroverts, parenting styles, these are all at play as we interact and as we host. So often we get caught because we know cross-cultural tension, but we don't know what to do with it. So sign up to host, but also come to this time of conversation as we prepare to use our hands. Let's reflect together. Let's go deeper. So number 8, God's work, our money. You heard me. God's work, our money. Today's gospel ends with a line about giving up all of our possessions, and it is a strong, strong line. One of my colleagues recently posted a question on social media to a group of church members. How does your household think about what you give away? Crickets. Absolute crickets. Nothing was said back. And then finally, one person responded that they were still thinking about the question. Well, that was positive, right? And then someone else said, maybe the point is we don't think about it, and we don't think about what we will give so much, and we really don't want to talk about it with other people. I think that's going on. I'll probably tell you this story again in the coming months because it's so vital. Jesus, it seems, in this gospel and others, has a lot to say about possessions and about money, and about following, and about giving, about discipleship, and it's all intertwined. I pray that in these next months, we will normalize these conversations. For our decisions about money are always decisions about faith. Number 7, God's work, our voices, our voices. Last week, I read an article on women's suffrage, this women's suffrage movement. It was in the back page of the travel section of the Star Tribune. How random is that? It began, they were all considered respectable, upstanding women in their community. School teachers and church leaders and charitable volunteers, each one educated and God-fearing. They met at the First Presbyterian Church on Vermilion Street in Hastings, Minnesota. And they quietly strategized about how they'd organize across Minnesota to ratify the 19th Amendment, the amendment that gave women the right to vote. You know, it was the summer of 1920 that amendment became the law of the land, but in those months and years prior, the states were doing their work of ratification. And indeed, these women were doing their work of getting that to happen in that church basement on Vermilion Street. It was 100 years ago today, 100 years ago today, September 8th, 1919, that Minnesota ratified the 19th Amendment. God's work, our voices. Number 6, God's work, our planet, our future. Around the world, it's young people who have led the way on climate action. Friday, September 20th, coming up soon, is called a climate strike. Young people have invited all of us of every age to come together for our planet. It'll look different in different places around the world, but in the Twin Cities, what's going to happen is a midday march to the Capitol. I plan to be there. I would love to march with many of you. Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg says, the most important thing you can do now as an individual is to try to read all those things that no one wants to read. She goes on, and I know that is very boring, and that is why this information needs to become more available, and then put pressure on the people in power. That's what she says. And all that brings me to number five, God's work are decisions. God's work are decisions. As a congregation, we're asking, should we put solar panels on our roof over there, or our roofs, plural, to decrease our carbon footprint and to live out our values? Today, after worship, there is a third opportunity to gather together for discussion about solar energy. This will focus today on the process and on the financing. How would this actually work? Because the tax credit timing is tight, this decision likely will be made very quickly by the end of the year, by the end of 2019. So it's time to dig deep, to read, as Greta says, to talk, to be part of this discernment, and to put pressure on our systems and structures to work for our planet. Number four, God's work are relationships. Hate. Did you hear that in the gospel today? It's such a strong word. It's so strong. Today's gospel often trips us up with that talk of hating family, even life itself. It's confusing and it's painful. It feels like we're being asked to choose between the call to follow Jesus and the call to be family. And I believe we have both those calls. It touches us, for many of us are tender already. I wonder, though, if this isn't so much prescribing that we must hate family, but rather describing a gospel that won't settle, that has a lot that it demands. It's asking us to look at everything, even our relationships with those that we love and care for the most dearly, and to make following our way. Number three, God's work, our lives. If you know the writing of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, today's gospel may sound a little bit familiar. It was during Hitler's rise in the 1930s that the German churches were grappling with how to respond to Hitler. Acquiesce to the rhetoric, the hatred, or together stand up for another way. In forming the Confessing Church, Bonhoeffer helped shape this other way. He talked about the way of costly grace, precious grace, we might say, grace that demands everything, sometimes even one's life. Number two, God's work, our brains, our hearts, our bodies. Dear friends in Christ, it's that time. Today's gospel makes me squirm because it's real. It is so very real. When I look around, when I listen to the rhetoric of our nation, when I hear the calls of young people who can see the future, their future, when I listen, really, really listen, and deeply to the experiences of my black and brown-bodied friends, it's real. We could keep on. We could. We could let the status quo lull us. We could even let our anger rise occasionally, but something bigger is happening, and something greater is being asked of us, of you and of me. Pick up your cross, beloved. Pick up your cross and follow. Let grace guide you and follow. Finally, number one, God's work, God's grace. God's work, God's grace. We don't do this on our own, but rather we do this in community. We don't do this overnight, but day by day and week by week and year by year. We don't do this by our sheer will, but with God's grace and the Spirit's power, mighty power, and Jesus' way. As we begin this new year, may we be rooted deeply, planted by the water, and ready to do God's work with our hands, with our bodies, with our minds, with our hearts, with our very lives. For that, my dear friends, is the call. You are rooted, deeply, deeply rooted. Amen.